to the Journalism Explainer podcast, a series that probes the backstories of journalism's reinvention. I'm Julie Pizzetti, Fairfax Media's Head of Digital Editorial Capability.
I'm Asha Phillips, the Asia Pacific Director at CrowdTangle. And today we're looking at a topic that makes some journalists gag and others gaze into the distance, metrics and analytics in the newsroom. The analysis of raw data collected from audiences allows newsrooms to understand what motivates people to consume their content and how they consume it across platforms.
But there's still confusion among the resistors about the role of metrics and analytics in newsrooms. So the Journalism Explainer's assistant producer, Jake Evans, has taken a detailed look at the evolution of audience measurement and how we're moving towards allowing the data to inform and influence our editorial agendas.
What is the point of seeing how many likes your story got on Facebook? Is that what we've come to? Chasing after likes and clicks on our stories as if they're selfies on Instagram? It's easy to become cynical about measuring the metrics of our stories, especially if we misunderstand their purpose. And a recent report from the Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism found that many newsrooms are still confounded by them.
Using some sort of tools to track audience behavior, analytics, metrics, is now very common practice in many newsrooms. And you can see newsrooms with big screens, with real-time analytics, newsrooms are getting better in tweaking headlines and moving their homepage around, the articles in their homepage around to become more effective and to improve reach or engagement. The point is that many newsrooms stops there.
That was Federica Cherubini, the lead author of the report, who told me while newsrooms might be watching to see the top story of the day, they're not using analytics to really understand their audiences.
What set aside best practice is a use of this editorial analytics. It means that the use of data and metrics is strategic and is aligned with the editorial priorities and the organizational imperatives of the newsroom.
Aligned with the newsroom. That's how NPR approached their CareBot project, which, as its name hints, is a chat bot being built to help journalists understand whether readers actually care about a story. CareBot measures more specific metrics than clicks or time on a page, like how long readers spend interacting with a graph, or how much of the article they actually completed. Then it sends that information to a group chat in a simple and, for a bot, conversational way, so the journalists are encouraged to discuss the results. I asked Brian Boyer, the visuals editor at NPR and the project lead of CareBot, to explain to me why they set up the chatbot the way they did.
You know, we have, Google Analytics that some people in the newsroom have access to. And we actually have our own dashboard that interprets that information that we use internally. That's fine. And we have a daily analytics email that a lot of people get. But the content of that email is largely just is telling me what stories got page views yesterday. And, you know, page views are fine. We all want our stories to have reach. We want lots of people to read them. But page views aren't really even a measurement of reach. They're a measurement of audience intent, right? They're a measurement of, did we write the headline in such a way that people were persuaded to click on it, right? You know, our team, so we're the visuals team, right? So we're a visual journalism team at National Public Radio, which, you know, gives you a lot of existential crises, right? You're like, what's the point of being a visuals team at a radio organization? And we asked ourselves that question a lot, and we realized that sort of our mission was to, you know, the visual journalism has the unique ability to create empathy, right? To make people give a shit, to make people care. And we said, okay, well, if that's something that we can do and that's something that lines up with NPR's mission, then that's great. Let's make that our mission. And then, you know, the immediate follow-up question is, okay, so how do we know if we're doing our jobs? There was no, like, metric or whatever at NPR that would tell us that. You know, one of my favorite examples is the story we did about the civil war in Yemen. You know, we worked on it for like a couple of weeks. I was pretty proud of it, but it only got about 60,000 page views, right? And you know, people on the team are like, oh, boy, I wish that story did better. We put a lot of work into that, right? But the thing is, so we've been measuring something we call an engaged completion rate. And the engaged completion rate is a measurement. So there's a whole lot of people who show up to any given story that immediately leave. And this happens to text-based stories, visual stories, whatever. And so the first thing we do is we take all those people, we throw them out, right? And we only count the people who came in the front door, people who started reading, right? And so of the 60,000 people who saw that story, about 50,000 started reading, which is a pretty good conversion rate from here's my headline to all right, let's read. And of those 50,000, 70% of them got to the very end of this. And that kind of completion rate, that just screams, right? That's insane. We got more than 40,000 people to actually read this very long story about a very complicated war in a strange place, right? Our audience just probably couldn't even put Yemen on a map. And that is something worth celebrating. And if we only had the sort of standard metrics, we'd all be bummed about that story. And we'd say, oh, let's not do a project like that again. But looking at it through this other lens, we can say, hell yeah, let's do a project like that again. That was fantastic.
At Fairfax Media in Sydney, head of digital channels Connell Hanna is also looking through a different lens at the newsroom's metrics.
Yeah, so we've been doing some stuff lately with monthly analytics, breaking down how many stories we publish in total across the company in a month, breaking that down by topic, breaking that down by source, so stuff that's written by our reporters versus contributors versus syndicated content from the wires. And it's really fascinating stuff when you start to get to that level. And you can see, you know, the average engagement for stories in a topic written by your reporters versus syndications and all those kind of things. And you can start to make resourcing decisions about where your competitive advantage lies and what you're going to invest in more in the future.
This is that higher level editorial analytics researcher Federica Cherubini was talking about.
We all know there are some tricks, but the point is exactly that. Analytics is not about some plug and play tools that you put in the newsroom and a couple of tricks to improve engagement or reach.
Okay, so why are so many journalists still looking at analytics as a crude trick to improve their page views? Federica says the difference between a rudimentary use of analytics and an advanced use usually comes down to data culture.
Usually it means that they don't focus only on tools and technology, but alongside newsroom and technology, they have an organization and a culture in place that can support the use of data. For example, you have training with journalists if journalists have access to the data. Training journalists to teach them what the data means, how they can act on the data, make them insightful.
Here's how NPR's Brian Boyer thinks newsrooms can improve their data culture.
It's really important to communicate success, really important to communicate with your team if they're succeeding. And that was sort of our motivation for trying it out as a bot, right? Or trying it out as a chat thing. Because, I mean, the point of building a system like this, or the point of measuring success, right, is you want to change people's behavior. You don't want to just say, hey, you're doing a good job. You want to figure out how we as an organization can get better at doing the things that are good and the things that we value. So communicating value to your team is, and communicating it well is really important. And I do worry that the way we communicate about numbers here persuades people to write stories that are more clickbaity or something. That's one of the things that, you know, one of the things that we're learning. I mean, the Care About project has been a prototype sort of for that reason. That's one of the reasons we're going to be spending some time with it before I go try to just put this idea and say, hey, everybody else do this thing we're doing. The question has been, you know, what are the metrics that tell us things that we agree are meaningful?
I think it's fair to say, like, most of the analytics that publishers have access to these days are still relatively basic. There's been developments over the last 10 years, but I think we're still getting to the stage where we're going to have a much more nuanced view of the reader. At the moment, well, historically at least, the conversation has been very dominated by two metrics, which is page impressions and then unique audience in Australia or monthly uniques in America, which is kind of the breadth of your audience. And that's important to advertisers, but I think we allow ourselves to be too skewed by that measure because the breadth of your audience, you know, if you've got a lot of people coming once a month, it not necessarily the recipe for a great business. So the monthly UA figure that gets published by Nielsen every month, it's the breadth of everyone's audience. And currently news.com is the number one in the country, SMH is number two. And then the age sort of fluctuates between about number six and number eight. And it's very much in a ding-dong battle with The Guardian. Each month, they're kind of one is slightly ahead of the other, and it goes back and forth. If you instead rank the sites by total time that people spend on those sites, The Age is about two or three times The Guardian, and is actually the third biggest in the country. So it just starts to influence the way you perceive success. I think at the moment, you know, if advertisers are only looking at the number of people who walk in the door once a month, to use a retail analogy, they're not taking into account how long they spend in your store, how much stuff they buy. They're actually only looking at one measure.
So is it just about picking the right metric to track?
We all know there are plenty of different metrics, and we've seen in the past people arguing in favor of time spent compared to page views and all those metrics that tracks engagement. All these are very useful, but they have to be targeted to what you want to do. So there is no one approach of analytics, as there is no one metric that will solve all the problems.
That is exactly the attitude NPR approached CareBot with, using what Brian Boyer calls mission-driven analytics.
You know, it's not to say that the measurements we've built are the right measurements for any given team, right? It's just that the measures we've been experimenting with are measures of what we've decided our mission is. And so the advice I give to lots of folks is don't just copy what we're doing. Think about your mission, and then think about ways you could define success for your mission, and then figure out how you can measure it. Every team kind of does this stuff differently. Some teams are really thoughtful about it, other teams aren't. But the question is, like, what do we cheer about? You know, what do we get excited about? And that's the thing where you've really got to start changing some people's minds. Like, hey, a page view is no longer a measure of if your story did well or not.
There's another good reason not to give too much weight to the page view, as Fairfax Media's Connell Hanna explains.
We're not throwing out page impressions. We're very keen to get as many page impressions as possible. We want to get our journalism in front of as wide an audience as possible. But I think what you do see is, in the last 3 or 4 years, you've seen probably an unprecedented race to scale in online journalism. So, you know, the BuzzFeeds of the world and the Daily Mails of the world that have really invested heavily in just growing a global audience as large as possible. That's been unbelievable to watch, and they've been very successful at that. But now people are starting to ask the questions, well, what is the... what's the average revenue per user for something like the Daily Mail? It's quite small. And you actually, is that commercially the most sensible thing to do when you have to cater for that many people? You have to spread yourself very thin, and you're not necessarily building a deep relationship with the reader. And the other thing that scale play has done is obviously it's just shrink yields in the advertising sense, so that there's so much inventory out there, no one's really making substantial money. So I think what you're going to see is people looking to try and buy on the quality of the audience more, and scale becomes a little less influential.
Right, so we want page views, but not too much. Analytics are good, but pointless if they're not attached to a mission. And there's still gaps in what we do with analytics. I asked Federica if there's anything else.
Well, one of the things that shows some of the limits, or not the limits, but the need to keep in mind that there is a constant change, is, for example, how you track different devices. So how do you compare different data? And so is an impression on Twitter the same value of a like on Facebook? How do you track people the consuming video through the mobile or through the app with the desk? Do they all mean the same thing? It's important to say that the report found that compared to a few years ago, where maybe journalists were a bit more skeptical, there was more resistance because, of course, every journalist doesn't want the data to replace their editorial judgment. And I would say now there is more interest and curiosity from the journalist side to what and how they can use the data and how they can measure how they are doing. But that doesn't mean that numbers will dictate what you're doing and what you're covering. And to remember that analytics are very, very powerful, but also not perfect. Numbers and metrics always need context to be understood.
One of the best quotes for me on analytics was David Carr, the former New York Times media writer, when the New York Times, like most newsrooms around the world, journalists were skeptical about metrics entering the newsroom. And he wrote a column about it and sort of said that, whilst being a slave to the metrics is a likely recipe for, clickbait journalism, ignoring them completely sounds like the surest path to irrelevancy. And I think that pretty neatly encapsulates it. You need to take on board what the metrics are telling you, but not be ruled by the metrics as well.
And that was Connell Hannah, Fairfax Media's head of digital channels there, ending that report by Jake Evans.
That's it from the Journalism Explainer today. If you want to catch up on past episodes, subscribe on iTunes, via your podcast app, or find us on Audioboom. And if you enjoy listening, write us a review.
You can also follow us on Twitter at JExplainer, and at Facebook, our page is, unsurprisingly, The Journalism Explainer. I'm Julie Pizzetti. Speak again soon.
I'm Asha Phillips. See you later.